Chronicles now transmitting.
Welcome to the Tate Chronicles on Healthcare Now Radio. And now, here's your host, Jim Tate.
Good day, citizens of the free world. From border to border, coast to coast, and to all the ships at sea, I bring you a warm welcome. This is your correspondent, Jim Tate, and thank you for tuning in today to the Tate Chronicle. Join me as we cut through the fog that exists at the leading edge of healthcare technology. Our mission is simple. We're searching for beneficial disruption in healthcare from emerging technologies. I'm very excited today. My guest is John Nebergall. John is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of EFAX, which is a division of J2 Global. He has a deep background in healthcare technology and deployment as one of the leaders in what I call real-world interoperability of healthcare data. John, welcome to the Tate Chronicles.
Jim, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, thanks for sharing your time with us today, John. I'm sure our paths have crossed somewhere in the past, if not in the real world, and on some online forums or something like that, because you and I have both been in this field for quite some time. And we'll kind of jump right into what I want to talk about today, and that is the role of electronic faxing, digital faxing in interoperability. And let me preface this with one thing. I was the clinical director of a large pulmonary practice, maybe 1983, 1984, and somebody brought in a cardboard box, opened it up, and there was a fax machine in it. and that was the first wave of fax machines being brought into practices. And it was miraculous to us because we would often have patients show up. We didn't know why they were there. They didn't know why they were there. But with a phone call, we could call their referring provider, and they'd fax us over something. And so it's kind of funny. It was the biggest jump in interoperability I've seen in 40 years. It's those initial fax machines coming out. And so we kind of fast forward 35, 40 years, and there's a move to kind of dismiss faxing as no longer relevant in the exchange of healthcare data. But it's really come to my attention that there's a very valid place for this technology and the way it's evolved in healthcare data interoperability. So really my first question I'd like to kind of ask you, John, is how is e-faxing, digital e-faxing, relevant at this current stage of interoperability that we find ourselves?
You know, Jim, that's a great question. And it's kind of interesting, the fact that I've wound up running a fax business. You know, if you would have told me 10 years ago that's what I'd be doing, you'd have knocked me over with a feather. It didn't seem to me at that time, as I was in healthcare IT, that the fax had a place in the future. What I didn't understand and what I've been able to learn in the process is that fax isn't a machine, it's a technology. And when you think about interoperability, the ability to move information that's actionable from point A to point B in a secure way that's reliable, that allows you to do something with the data, fax is currently often overlooked as a technology because everybody immediately thinks of the machines and the paper, when in fact, fax technology is fundamental to what interoperability is trying to achieve. It can take a document, and let's face it, as much as we'd like to think that HL7 digital streams are how information moves in healthcare, that the fact is that healthcare runs on forms, healthcare runs on documents, and the ability to transmit a document from point A to point B paperlessly, reliably, and securely is at the heart of what fax technology allows you to do. Now, I know there's been a big movement in healthcare to get rid of the fax machines, and frankly, we're 100% behind that. Fax machines are pretty archaic. They're expensive. And I think it's one of those hidden costs that many healthcare organizations don't understand that they have. As you see fax machines on every floor at every nurse station, in the pharmacy, in the lab. And those machines, each of them requiring a phone line is costing money. Each of them requiring paper is costing money. Very often that paper is just taken off the machine and then scanned into the EMR, taking time, and ultimately you have to stack up all this paper and send it off-site to the shredding folks who charge you by the pound. So there's a lot of cost involved in that. There's a lot of insecurity, of course, in paper. And the fact is fax as a technology, when properly implemented, and that's really what we focus on, is paperless. It's a technology that, frankly, EMRs speak natively. I've never seen an EMR system that you can't fax out of or receive a fax from. And again, that's without having to print it, but be able to do that electronically. And then finally, a fax is really inexpensive. Doesn't require an expensive interface, doesn't require any kind of special equipment. Most physicians' offices have fax built into their workflow already, so it's part of what they do every day, what their administration folks do every day. And I think that more than anything else, when people think in their head about fax as a player in healthcare technology, they immediately think of that machine. And the reality is that when properly implemented, fax is mainstream with what interoperability is trying to achieve.
One thing just kind of popped in the front of my mind is when we were using in the early days in the 80s the fax machines, you had to have more or less a dedicated phone line or a switcher. And so can these electronic faxed files be sent over networks other than phone lines?
Well, you know, part of the security of fax is the fact that it goes across telco lines. So when you think of fax, what you wind up with on each end is a telephone number. Now, you and I both know whether you're talking about an email address, which is, you know, a number of digits with an at sign and, you know, .direct.organization.org, or you're thinking of an HL7 stream that's going between two places on the interoperability grid. Each of them have an address of some kind. So when you're thinking about fax, the address winds up being a 10-digit address. Right? It's 10 numbers to get from point A to point B. When you're talking about electronic faxing, while you've still got a 10-number code that says I'm going to fax to this particular location or I'm going to send a document to a particular location, that is a not necessarily, and certainly in our case, not at all a phone line. It really is just a location identifier. So while fax protocol is always going to use that 10-digit number by definition, you don't have to think about it as a phone line into your organization. In fact, in a number of cases, one, the UAB health system, you know, we're removing those fax machines, but that number still stays as the location for the fax machine that we've moved. You don't have to change anything when you transition from a paper-based fax system to an electronic fax system like eFax.
You know, one of the things that I think about with faxing, John, is the fact with interoperability, there is a push or almost a mandate for structured, codified data. And I understand that there's been some real advances in software and technology that allow this to faxing to actually in some way become translated into that structured data, which is in some ways kind of the holy grail. What are some of the technologies or software solutions around that?
Well, there's a couple of ways that we can do this. And you're right, the trick is taking unstructured data and putting into a structured environment. You know, optical character recognition or OCR technology continues to get more powerful over time. For example, ourselves, we've invested in OCR technology, and one of the things that we've learned, and I think the whole marketplace has learned, is as you apply OCR technology, there's a certain amount of accuracy that you get out of it. And then there's a certain amount of error rate that you get out of it. One of the really interesting things about the advancement of technology, especially in the area of AI or specifically in machine learning, is that OCR, benefits greatly from that technology, and we've frankly invested heavily in that technology. So essentially what happens is that as you have documents come in that are read by a computer system and then broken down into a form that a machine can parse, so into a structured environment.
Sure.
That process typically is going to be, I OCR this, I turn it into this data stream, I have somebody make corrections to it to make sure that it's a perfect match, and then I take that and I can manipulate that data any way I need to, turn it into an HL7 string, for example, and be able to load it into my EHR. What machine learning does is it understands every time you're making corrections in that OCR environment, the machine, the computer system, is monitoring this. It's saying, okay, I know what mistake I made. I know mm-hmm. what mistake I made. And you iterate this thousands and thousands of times. And you wind up in a spot where the OCR gets very, very accurate because it starts to understand how to correct itself. And you focus a lot of time and effort away from the manual process of trying to correct these, build that into the system, and you wind up with something that becomes virtually a perfect ability to take something like a fax that is a document with words on it and turn it into a digital file that can be parsed into an EMR or some other kind of system in a way that allows you to structure the data.
Where are we in the trajectory of that? Are we partway through that process? Is that actually happening in the real world yet? I know part of it has to do in so many areas of healthcare and really across many industries, the evolution of the artificial intelligence or machine learning. Is this a capable thing or a potential thing that's actually happening now, where those documents can be turned into structured data and then corrected and then learning take place? Where are we in that actual, how close are we to the goal line on that, John?
Yeah, well, we're still in the playing field, but I'll tell you we're in the red zone. It's happening. It's real technology. This isn't sort of the leading edge stuff that you would think is out there as brand new technology. It's something that's tried and true, this kind of machine learning. And again, while I wouldn't say that we're ready to declare victory, we've certainly made great strides in that direction. And I think the more that you learn about the kind of documents that are coming into a given organization, the better your ability to turn that into structured data becomes. In other words, it comes down a great extent to the forms that are being received, and most everything that is transmitted as a document using fax, the digital cloud fax technology, is some kind of form. The more I know about that form, where is a patient's name, where are their vitals, where are their demographics, where are their problems, where are their meds, where are their lab results, as soon as I start to learn more about what's on that form, the better I'm able to apply machine learning, and the faster the whole process gets. So we're doing both of those things very aggressively, making sure that we can quickly identify what form we're dealing with and then applying the machine learning component to an OCR solution to make sure that we can get that data, parse it out, and allow it to be put into a structured environment.
You know, as you speak about this, John, I'm really reminded that there are numerous ways that data is going to be coming into a patient's record that are not initially structured data. There's a big push for patient-reported health data, weight, blood sugar, blood pressure, things like that to be reported through a patient's portal. And a lot of that is not structured data. The portal could be set up to accept data fields and things like that, but it doesn't have to be. And so that a lot of that patient-reported data is unstructured, but needs to become structured. So the more ways that data can be brought in, the more options there are. Obviously, that's that's going to lead to a more complete health record, which I guess kind of the goal is totally. One thing I want to get into is the fact that so many of these things, and certainly healthcare, technology, Medicare, CMS, the Office of National Coordinator, drives a lot of the standards, compliance, and regulatory issues. And there's a proposed rule out there that really does not take into account digital cloud fax technology. I know you've been involved in trying to enlighten the authors of that proposed rule by going to Washington. And so I'd like to hear, you know, certainly your experience of you know, using the public comments to affect a proposed rule, but to actually educate the lawmakers themselves in Washington. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, I've made a couple of trips to Washington that have been very well received, and I'll start by saying, really, we're very, very supportive of what CMS and HHS are trying to do in promoting interoperability and getting rid of the paper that's in healthcare. I think we're entirely in agreement to say that moving from something that's paper-based to something that is paperless, digital, and efficient is 100% the right direction. I think much, you know, like you had described earlier, Jim, with getting that fax machine and you know, most people having in their head what that fax is the machine, you wind up in a situation where because of the nature of you know, the proliferation of these devices throughout medicine, when people say fax, it's certainly immediately interpreted to be the four-letter word that means I've got a machine spitting paper out. And much of the time that we've spent in discussions both with congressional leaders as well as the administrators in CMS has been an education process. It really has been focused on having a better understanding of fax, the technology, how that's used within healthcare effectively, how when implemented the right way, not only is it HIPAA compliant, but you know, in our case, it's also HITRUST certified. And a very efficient, low-cost, and effective way to move information. One of the pieces that I think is very important to talk about, especially when we talk about low-cost solutions, is you have to think of environments like rural environments. You have to think of environments like economically impacted urban environments where you're not necessarily going to be able to have a lot of dollars available to invest in healthcare IT, but as much as anything else, the sharing of patient data, the ability to communicate clinical information from point A to point B, be it a referral, a medication, a lab result, is vitally important to ensure that health is that healthcare delivery is working at its best. And as you start to put in place a process that says, hey, in order to be compliant with this rule or that rule, you have to be able to communicate a certain way, and we're going to specifically say not fax, you start to put those kinds of practices in a tough position where economically being able to afford an expensive EMR and an interface to be able to send and receive information via direct or HL7, FHIR, whatever protocol you have, starts sure. to become burdensome when the solution that is offered by applying digital cloud fax technology is right there and available already. You start to see that the rule could have an adverse effect on certain sectors of the population that's unintended. And certainly in our discussions with CMS and the lawmakers, everybody is in agreement that we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, and being able to spend some time educate folks on what this technology is. You're faxing without a fax machine, and it never has to be a piece of paper. And in fact, it's done millions of times a day. then you're starting to get a level of support or understanding, not for changing the approach, because the approach is the same. We want to go digital, we want to go paperless, but understanding that there's other technologies out there that are already in existence that can also support that, and you want to be as inclusive as you can be. And we've been very well received in these conversations.
Well, that's one thing that's kind of fascinating to me, John. I'm curious. So you and or members of your team took a fine-tooth comb and went through this proposed rule and said, oh, my gosh, we're not so worried about them getting rid of some of the analog faxing, but to get rid of digital faxing, there needs to be some education. So how did you decide who, what representatives to reach out and schedule meetings with? Was it people in certain committees or from, your geographic region? How did you do that? How did you decide who to talk to?
Yeah, I think part of it was, our own representatives in Congress. We have a headquarters in California, so our representative, our local representative, as well as Senators Harris, Feinstein, were very receptive to our conversation. We also worked with specifically members of the Physicians Caucus, and I don't know if your listeners are aware, but there are a number of physicians who are in Congress, both in the Senate and in the House, and they have a caucus where they meet together, speaking to each other specifically about healthcare concerns and coming to their own consensus about, you know, what's important to support and how can they work together with CMS and HHS to move things forward. So that those members were also very specifically important for us to speak with. And then finally, some key states where the rural population is very dependent on the use of fax technology in order to make sure that they're able to get health records from point A to point B. We spent time with those folks as well. And again, very well received. Those were wonderful conversations. And I think that as we put the education process into play, we started to have some folks be able to just give us the feedback that this was new information to them and certainly something that they wanted to incorporate into their thinking going forward.
You know, it's unfortunately kind of a common belief that nobody can actually go speak with elected representatives and make their voices known. And I think what you've done is kind of a great example. And in the last few days, I've read a couple of descriptions online of this process. You go into Washington. I mean, I know that I just Googled that phrase, Mr. Fax Goes to Washington. I know it's kind of a play on words of the movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, for those of us who remember a little bit older movies. The whole concept of having a voice and educating representatives and have them actually sit down and listen, you don't hear that too commonly. So it was kind of a hopeful sign, and the idea there's a Physicians Providers Caucus that you could speak with. That bodes well for democracy. Yeah. No doubt about that.
It was also interesting to me, and as we met with each of the folks that were in Congress and their staffs, literally every person in Congress that we met with, and I'm going to say we had about a dozen meetings, had somebody on their staff who specialized in nothing but healthcare legislation to advise them on that issue. The level of serious consideration that each of these folks in Congress give to healthcare issues was very apparent to us as we went through this. So it was an education for me as well, because each of them have on their staff who folks who I thought were very smart, many with healthcare IT backgrounds, working with them specifically on helping advise them on healthcare legislation and ensuring that they had expert help on their staff in order to stay abreast of developments there and also make good decisions on the legislation that was in front of them.
John, I understand that EFAX has a a pretty good blog, which sounds like a way to keep up to date with a lot of the technology you're doing. And the most recent post has to do about Mr. Fax goes to Washington. You go to Washington. Can you give us the URL for where that blog is located?
Sure can, Jim. It's enterprise.efax.com/blog. And we post there pretty regularly.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that. John, I can't believe it, but we're almost out of time. So to our audience, I want to thank them for joining me on this episode of the Tate Chronicles. I offer a special salute to my guest, John Nebergall. John, thanks for coming aboard today.
Well, Jim, I appreciate you having me. I always am happy to talk about this technology. It's one of those things that very often is overlooked, and certainly this kind of exposure is always helpful.
Well, you can find more information on this show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com. Until we meet again, here's wishing you smooth sailing and safe harbor.
Tate Chronicles transmission ending now.